How do you make a subject as dense and complicated as the subprime mortgage crisis that led to the Great Recession of 2008 into a really good movie? You start with characters. There are, of course, lots of bad guys. And even the heroes are kind of jerks.
You're running around like you have to right every wrong
in the world.
Okay.
How angry.
Fine. You know what? I'm a
mean guy and I'm pissed off.
You have no idea the kind of crap people are pulling, and everyone's walking around like they're in a damn Enya video.
That was Steve Carell and Marissa Tomei in the new film The Big Short, directed by Adam McKay. The movie is based on the book of the same name by Michael Lewis, and it has just gotten 4 Golden Globe nominations, including one for Best Screenplay. Adam McKay and Michael Lewis join me now from our New York bureau. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let's talk about the main characters in The Big Short, the group of people who, a long time before it happened, figured out that we were heading off of a financial cliff and then basically made this huge financial bet that it was going to happen, thus The Big Short. In the film, you describe them as outsiders and weirdos. Possibly the weirdest is this doctor, Dr. Michael Burry.
Anyone can see that there's a real estate bubble.
Actually, no one can see a bubble. That's what makes it a bubble.
That's dumb, Lawrence. It's always markers.
So Mike Burry, a guy who gets his hair cut at Supercuts and doesn't wear shoes, knows more than Alan Greenspan and Hank Paulson.
Yeah, Dr. Mike Burry. Yes, he does.
Michael Lewis, I mean, you met this person. Can you tell us about him?
Sure. In many ways, he's who makes the book possible, because Christian Bale gets this across, but it's never said in the movie. He has Asperger's syndrome. He's in San Jose, California, basically not seeing anybody face to face. So he lives his whole life by email. And one of the first things he did after I met him was dump all of his emails going back to the beginning of the crisis on me, and I could reconstruct it through this man. So the idea of the book and the movie is that it's not an accident that these people are the ones who saw what the system failed to see and was blind to. They had qualities in them that enabled them to see. And in his case, it was a total resistance to the propaganda coming out of Wall Street, coupled with an insistence on seeing what the numbers were. So he pieced together the crime as it was being committed.
The way the housing market imploded is obviously not an easy thing to explain. It's a little bit easier in a book, but in a movie, you've got 2 hours to not only explain things like collateralized debt obligations, but you also have to make it entertaining. Adam, were you intimidated by that?
You know, I'm going to do something I don't like to do, which is I'm going to give Michael Lewis a lot of credit. He wrote a book that was kind of amazing in the sense that it fused these incredible characters with a lot of dense information. And because he was able to tie that information to their stories, I was able to digest it.
So can I interrupt?
Because please.
If you'd asked me a month ago when I first saw this thing, how he did this, I still didn't know. However, since you're asking me today, after 4 Golden Globe nominations, I'm pretty sure it was all me. So I think the big thing that I think he does in the movie that's so important is he doesn't condescend to the audience. And he treats his audience as if they can understand it and makes them feel as if it's okay if you don't get quite all of it, because the gist of it is all you need.
One of the ways that you do that, Adam, without giving too much away, you do some sort of creative breaking of the fourth wall to explain these arcane financial terms. Was that your idea? To just sort of say, okay, audience, hold on. We're going to do this. We're going to do it with this sort of funky, in this sort of funky way.
You know, when I read the book, there was a section Michael had where in a footnote, he actually told me as the reader, if I was following what he was saying to this point, I deserve a gold star. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, did he just talk to me? And that sort of inspired this idea that this movie can break the fourth wall. You don't want to do it too much, but there can be a little bit of a conversation with the audience.
At one point, there's a naked lady in a bathtub explaining one of these things. I mean, I don't know.
It helps.
I love the way you phrase that, a naked lady in a bathtub.
There are advantages that film has, but books just don't.
Right. I don't know. I just have to ask, did you ever think you were pandering just a little too much to the audience?
The whole idea was it was a joke on pop culture. You know, we wanted to fill the movie with these images of music videos and iPhones and just this idea that we get so much information during the day that doesn't really tell us anything. But what if Kim Kardashian, every time you heard her on TV, she described like the LIBOR rate scandal or
tranches.
So, you know, is it pandering in a massive, massive way that hopefully is more satirical than sincerely pandering?
You know, in order to tell this really compelling story on the screen, you had to do it through the eyes of these guys who bet against the housing market, who did see this coming, but then got really rich off the fact that they saw it coming. I mean, these are not ultimately good guys in the traditional sense, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's about good and bad guys. I think the story is more about a system and incentives and what they do to individuals. I think you have these guys that, under a classic screenplay formula in the first half of the movie, should be our heroes. And it's sort of, they just get swamped by this system. They have a chance to really do something correct according to the market. They do their jobs, they pay attention, and in the end, the entire system is so rigged that it just runs them over. And even though, yes, they walk away with some money.
A lot of money.
Yes, they walk away with a lot of money.
Yeah.
At one point, Christian Bale's character is writing to one of his clients saying, we're depositing $400 and some million in your account. You're welcome.
And they hate him.
But they hate him, but that guy who hates him is really rich now.
I also think what the point of the movie is, too, that yes, these guys made money, but it's also asking the question of like, all right, yes, they made money, but is this really what it's about? I mean, is it okay to make loads of money in a corrupt system that incentivized to create bad products that cost people their homes? And one of my favorite moments in the movie is where you see Steve Carell as Mark Baum make a large chunk of money and feel absolutely disgusted by it.
I mean, I wanted to ask you so much about that moment because here I was sitting there, I'm crying for Steve Carell. And then I realize that he makes $200 million and I kick my chair, you know?
That's fantastic.
What you want.
That makes me very, very happy. Yes, yes.
Makes me mad.
good.
It's better than feeling nothing.
Adam McKay and Michael Lewis, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having us.
That was author Michael Lewis and director Adam McKay. The movie The Big Short opens today in New York and Los Angeles.